Well, let's get started then with the Old Moles, Lori Mercier, who is here to talk with Christian Appy about the Ken Burns series on Vietnam, airing on PBS, and what the series missed. Lori.
Thanks, Clayton. Yes, with me on the phone is Christian Appy, professor of history at the University of Massachusetts and author of numerous publications about the Cold War and the American War in Vietnam, including his recent book, American Reckoning, The Vietnam War and Our National Identity. He also writes for The Nation and Process and a number of other publications, but check out his blog on processhistory.org, where he has spoken about the recent Ken Burns, Lynn Novick televised series on Vietnam. Welcome to KABU, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Let's talk about the Burns-Novick series that recently aired on PBS and what will likely become the most watched and probably popular official story of the war. And let's talk about what this series missed, starting with the actual history of the American War in Vietnam. What was it really about?
Well, unfortunately, but predictably, the documentary takes a kind of middle-of-the-road position that the war was really a tragedy on all sides, that it was begun by men in good faith out of fateful misunderstandings. And there was, therefore, it does not ever really give voice to the possibility that, in fact, it was begun actually in bad faith, out of an intentional desire, not fateful misunderstandings, but out of an intentional desire to preserve and expand American global power in the aftermath of World War II. So these more critical perspective is one of the most glaring absences in the film. And there are others. For me, perhaps the most disturbing is its inability or unwillingness to really connect the most relevant aspects of that history to more recent times. In this entire 18-hour marathon, for example, unless I missed it, I don't think the word Iraq in Afghanistan is mentioned even once. So the connections we might have made to the earlier war in Vietnam and the really glaring and troubling parallels between our ongoing imperial adventures around the world is really missing. In its place, I think the accent is more on a kind of therapeutic approach to history, where clearly, and Burns and Novick have said this at countless promotional events, their effort is to provide what they describe as a vaccine to cure what they see as the national divisions and polarizations that were born in World War II, without really engaging the question of what would it take to heal those divisions, and if so, what kind of forgetfulness and omissions and avoidance of difficult questions does that involve? So those are some of my thoughts.
Yeah, and that healing or therapeutic aim, of course, distances the war from intention or also just the context. The series, it seems to me, is often referring to the war as a civil war. And aside from the first episode, I think, that deals with the French colonial context, there's not anything about the Vietnamese perspective. It's, as you point out, an American centrism of the series that always has U.S. veterans and their families getting the first and last word. So what about those Vietnamese voices that are interspersed in the series but really not heard or not part of the main narrative?
Well, it is good to hear them when they're there, and I understand that at first Ken Burns was reluctant to include any and that Lynn Novick talked him into having them there. But yes, they are framed in a way that, as you say, it's quite true. The Americans are given the first and last word in every episode, and the anti-colonial perspective, which is so crucial to understanding the origins and the outcome of the war, is missing. It's as if it's sort of an old-fashioned idea that this is and misleading and false, absolutely false idea that this was a civil war between North and South. It was a nationwide struggle for national reunification and independence. And the communist-led side would not have been successful had it not been able to stir up long historic passions for that quest, passions that involved millions of people around the world at that time. So we have kind of a Cold War framework in the Burns documentary rather than the framework that the Vietnamese would have used in its place, which is fundamentally an anti-imperial or anti-colonial perspective.
Also, in terms of the lack of Vietnamese perspective, the continual emphasis on failure and tragedy from the American perspective gives little attention to the numbers of dead on the Asian side, that probably 4 million Southeast Asians were killed, especially from the massive bombing.
Right. It's mentioned as a kind of afterthought in the final episode, and without any effort to really separate out the majority of deaths, which were civilian, and even more importantly, to emphasize that it was the United States and its South Vietnamese allies who were doing the vast majority of killing of civilians. There is throughout the documentary a very disturbing effort to create these very false equivalencies. Every time there is evidence of American wrongdoing, they'll be quick to offer an example of wrongdoing by the other side in ways that completely overshadow the fact that had the United States not intervened first to support the French reconquest of Vietnam after World War II, and then in the 1950s to try to create a permanent South Vietnam in defiance, actually, of the terms of the Geneva Accords, which had called for nationwide elections in 1956, had we not intervened in what I would call the waging of aggressive war, the war would never have happened. And, I mean, we can't know what history would have unfolded in its place, but it's certainly highly unlikely that it would have resulted in these 4 million deaths that you speak of.
Certainly the term genocide is never used in the series, even though, especially in the last years of the Nixon-Kissinger's gratuitous massive bombing, it seems to me that that's what we could call this.
Yeah, you can have interesting debates about whether it rises to genocidal status or not, but the fact that that debate is missing is typical. I mean, I will say this, as you would expect from a highly funded venture like this, done over many years with all their resources and talents, they were able to produce a huge amount of really interesting archival footage, and there is in that footage a lot of evidence of suffering and death. But at almost every turn, the most damning of the evidence is kind of softened or marginalized, and no voices really take it to that next logical step. I mean, they're sort of constantly pulling their punches so that American leaders will deceive the public, but they don't lie to the public. Or we experience failure in Vietnam, but not defeat. Or even in the My Lai massacre, in which American troops killed some 500 unarmed and unresisting civilians, those are described as killings rather than as murders. Or this one example that really plagues me. They did introduce us to an American colonel named Emerson, who said to his men, the men in his battalion, "I will offer a case of whiskey to the first one of you who can bring me the severed head of a Viet Cong." And somebody, in fact, did that. And you see an image of a severed head in the film, so it's horrifying. But instead of having the narrator conclude that here we have an American colonel that is clearly bribing his men to commit a war crime, this same colonel is described as courageous and relentless. I mean,
Yes, very disturbing. Yeah. That kind of glossing over or the use of terminology that's very soothing rather than critical. Another problematic feature and voices missing from the series are anti-war activists. Mm-hmm. There are good segments with Vietnam veterans against the war.
Yes.
But it's as if they are removed from the larger anti-war movement, who are really caricatured.
Yeah, that is one of the more disturbing, maybe the most disturbing, is that the most diverse and vibrant anti-war movement in our history, I would argue, is so marginal. They really only interview a single person who was part of what might be called the civilian anti-war movement. As you say, the anti-war Vietnam veterans are allowed to speak, and it's if in this film the only people that have the credibility to make criticisms of the war have to have that military credential. But Bill Zimmerman, the one anti-war activist who speaks, who knows what was edited out, but he never makes a really impassioned argument against the war. He actually has more negative things to say about the anti-war movement itself, and even reinforces this really false notion that the movement was motivated by self-interest after a certain point rather than moral conviction. So, and, of course, this old notion that the anti-war movement mistreated Vietnam veterans routinely and commonly. And in fact, one of the things that I believe is that there were these overlapping intersections between the anti-war movement that have not really been paid attention to. So, yeah, I mean, that's disturbing. And think of the legacy of that in terms of where we are now. I mean, again, going back to the point about not engaging any debates about the persistence of American imperial policies around the world, does this film serve to awaken critical-minded thoughts about why we still have more than 800 bases on foreign soil and are engaged in military operations, according to journalist Nick Terse, in more than 130 countries every year? That sort of stuff just doesn't appear.
It's as if it's frozen in time, this unique event that's not connected to the continued exercise of American imperial power.
Yeah, it is weird. Obviously, it's a subject you can't completely whitewash because there's so many disturbing elements about it. And yet it does seem frozen. Somehow I think the music works that way, too. It kind of freezes it in the past. And I would say that a lot of the Burns approach to filmmaking does privilege commemoration over critical thinking. It has a kind of elegiac feel to it. It sort of safely preserves the past in the past.
And this connects to just the recent commemoration of Veterans Day and the centrality of American veterans in the whole Burns series. But as you point out in another piece, this kind of commemoration that just basically the mantra, thank you for your service, ignores how veterans have actually been treated or the continued involvement in forcing the American military into these adventures around the world multiple times every year.
It's such an empty gesture and doesn't really require anything of us. I often tell students it would be better to meet veterans and say, will you please tell me about your service, rather than just thanking them and walking away. I think it allows us to go on with this perpetual war-making machine that requires less than 1% of Americans to do the fighting.
Certainly that kind of linkage to Vietnam is important to emphasize in terms of the United States again declaring war under false pretenses.
Yeah, undeclared wars and, you know, these impossible counterinsurgency missions where the goal is to prop up these governments and places like in Saigon that have no possibility of gaining the broad support of their own people, and where American troops are regarded as hostile invaders at best, and that somehow they're also supposed to win the hearts and minds of these people, and these connections aren't made. I would have loved to have seen some scenes where some of the Vietnam veterans are in a room talking to some younger vets from Iraq and Afghanistan and kind of comparing notes and making those connections. But each interview is done in isolation, as if even people, you know, you'll see this occasionally, they'll say very completely contradictory things, but there's no effort to try to sort of sharpen those distinctions. It's as if all these, you know, Burns says this a lot, that it's possible to have multiple truths about war that coexist peacefully. And it kind of just, again, inhibits critical thinking about the past and the present.
Well, thank you so much, Christian Appy, for joining us today on The Old Mole Show. And I encourage listeners to check out the work of Christian Appy, APPY. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori. Nice to be here.
Up, two, three, four, marching down the street. Rolling of the drums and the tramping of the feet. General salutes and the mothers waving we. Here comes the big parade. Don't be afraid. Price is paid, one more parade. So young, so strong, so ready for the war. So willing to go and die upon a foreign shore. All march together, everybody looks the same. So there is no one you can blame. Don't be ashamed, light the flame, one more parade.